Okay, insert audio clip now instead of our original intro music for this episode. Bam! Bam.
Who's got the yams? Who's got the yams? Who's got the yams? Welcome to From a Certain Point of View, everyone, a Wooden Bowl Films podcast. I am one of your hosts. Mr. Hayden Woodhead, a.k.a. The Bruv.
The Bruv.
And at the moment, that Falcon dude.
Oh, settle down. Oh, Eagle guy.
Eagle guy. Come on. Gee, I can't even get it right.
You keep trying to up it. You're like, every week, it's like, oh, just, now you're full on Falcon guy.
Now I'm
guy.
The Falcon guy.
Falcon man.
Eagle dude guy. That's my name. Don't forget it, like me. Welcome, folks. The man on the other side of this wonderful conversation is the ever summery summer soldier, the guy that can't do Albert and Winters no more. Mr. So. Fantastic himself. Hey, your words, not mine. Mr. Justin this Turnbull.
Hello, welcome. My goodness. Hey, you know what? I've found there's like milestones in parenthood. Oh, I'm going to tell everybody what's coming up in the show, but in just a second. So there's milestones I found in parenthood, okay? And I've come across one. And it's a frustrating one I've found because it should be so simple, but I find it very difficult. And that is when your kid asks you what a word means. And I'm not talking about like an inappropriate word or something like that, but just like a word, you know, like satisfied. Like, what is satisfied? And you have to like think about it. I know what satisfied is, or about. I know how to use it, but when somebody says, what does that word mean? It's like, huh. How would I mean, now I got to think of how I describe. Yeah. How do I, let me think of how I describe this. But what I do find handy is I'm like, you know, we got like three Google Homes. Go ask one of them. Ask Google. That's what I say. Just ask Google. Hey, Google, what's about? Cause how would you describe about? How would you describe that? What does that word mean?
About.
That's what I'm saying. Hold on a second. Nah, you're making me think. I don't want to think. Just ask Google.
See? Well, it's because it's not an adjective, is it? It's not a descriptive word. It's a...
Oh, yeah. Let's not even get into that. And welcome to the show, everybody. We'll pick up on adjectives and pronouns and that stuff next week.
Pronouns?
My goodness. I don't know. I just had to think of another word description that I knew.
Just regular nouns. You don't nouns, have to ask the word about. What's your pronoun?
Verbs. We'll be discussing verbs for this episode, man. We're going to talk about, what new we've been watching. We do that every week to week. We like to discuss that because sometimes we find real gems. So we'd like to get into that. But what I'm excited about, man, holy cow, after that, I mean, we've been doing The Falcon and the Winter Soldier for the last couple episodes now, and we are going to continue to roll with that because that is what's hot right now, man. So we are going to talk about the last episode that just came out, episode 4, The Whole World is Watching. And oh boy, were they. So stick around for that. We're gonna get into that whole episode. I'm excited to hear what Hayden thinks and what he picked up on and what he thinks is going to happen because, it was something. It was something. After that, we're going to do Rachel's review, man. She did a nice little March wrap up last week. That was cool. And you know what? I got another trivia question for her. She's like crushing me now on the trivias. I can't sneak one past her. So I had to go into the old difficult
Pouch.
Pouch. Pile. That's a better word.
The other P word.
I'm looking for the right verb to put here. Did I use that word right? Probably not. After that, we're going to wrap it up with a whiskey shot, yo. Bring this thing to a conclusion. And that'll be it for Monday. So, bruv, Eagle guy, anything but the Falcon. You can't have that yet. You gotta get there.
I gotta earn it.
You watch anything new this week or what?
I've been watching a lot. It's been glorious. Glorious, glorious.
Oh my. Did it just get brighter in your room?
Yeah.
Suddenly the lights came on.
Ascending. The lights ascended from the heavens on my TV watching time, folks. It would also explain why I haven't been able to get those pages. Hashtag get those pages. Getting those pages. But I have been watching a lot more and ingesting and percolating. It's coming. You like that one?
Hey,
let me write that down.
I want you to use that in a sentence to Alex next time. I want when she says, "Oh, are you going to do some writing?" Or if she ever asks about writing or anything like that, could you please answer with, "Babe, I'm just percolating right now," and just like as straight face as you can, just tell me what happens. Tell me how the rest of that conversation goes. I'm percolating.
The thing is,
babe, I'm just percolating right now.
We don't use the word beb. Beb? Hey, beb?
Beb.
No.
Hey, beb.
No, beb. No, bebs.
Bebs.
No, bebs.
Yo, you got a problem with the bebs?
With the bebs?
You got a problem with the bebs? No. The bebs and the bebs?
No, man. My word for her is beautiful, so I got another B word.
Okay.
Settle down.
Settle down.
The second thing is that, one, no bebs.
No, I just...
Two.
No, I just call her beautiful.
I just call her beautiful. And I shake my hair like a shampoo
commercial. He did like a little Fabio thing there. He's like, no, I just call her beautiful.
Unbutton the shirt and have it blowing in the wind. Chiseled chest. Second thing is, I already used a word like that, like percolating in a regular sentence. So it's not a weird thing for me to say something like that. The deals are just percolating. Had an epiphany. Verisimilitude. What?
You hurt me.
That just reminds me of American Pie, where he's like, I got a 720 on my verbal SAT or whatever it was. They're like, no way, man. Try me. Copious. Verisimilitude. Regurgitation. I know that one. Anyway, I watched that film far too many times. Actually, not enough times, but a lot of times growing up. Probably not.
You hit every amount of times possible there.
Every amount
all
of
the time. Sometimes, maybe sometimes, a little bit of times. All the times.
All the times. But going from that film, I didn't watch that, but another coming of age sort of story. I started watching Boy Meets World on Disney Plus.
Like the OG Boy Meets World?
OG Boy Meets World. I'd never heard of it, but everybody, like, when it gets brought up, they're like, oh my God, I love that show. Oh my God. I'm like, what is this show? Oh my God. And
see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's Ben Savage. And I was like, oh, that's the kid from Wonder Years. But no, it's not. It's the younger brother of the kid from the Wonder Years. Fred Savage is from Wonder Years. Ben Savage is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm like, they look exactly the same. But he's great. I'm like, this is, it's a sitcom. It's a Disney Channel show from like the early 90s. But the comedy timing of these kids is like insane. I'm like, you don't get child performers like that now. I'm like, I mean, maybe you do, but.
Dude, that was part of our TGIF, man. And you didn't grow up here. Have you ever heard of TGIF?
No.
Bro, okay. So every Friday night, it was like, that was it. That was the thing, man. It was TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. And they had like, this was for like younger. It was like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Boy Meets World. Oh my gosh, there's two others. And it was just like four like awesome like kid shows in a row growing up on your Friday night. It was it. That's what was happening. That was what was popping when you were younger, man. TGIF. I gotta look that up. Yeah, had the like, yeah. Kids nowadays will never know that. They'll be like flipping on Netflix or Prime or Disney for an hour. Did you pick something yet? It's like there. It's like, no, they gave it to you and it was good.
And it was good. So I started watching that and I've missed a bunch, but it's one of those shows that you can just rewind and pick it up, and because Alex will watch it and then she'll fall asleep and then I'll come in and I'm like, I can go back a few episodes because she's asleep. And then by the time that she wakes up, it's all caught up. So it's great. But there's that. Nice. There's actually a sequel to it called Girl Meets World. And it's got the same, it's got Ben Savage in it as an adult and it's his daughter. So it's like, we'll show the growing up of a girl. And I'm like, oh, that's so clever. I'm surprised like they actually got all the original kid actors back again in 2014 was when it started. And so I'll watch that after the fact and sort of see how it goes.
How it goes. I knew they, I think, oh, was it 2014? I knew they did a reboot of this, but I didn't think it was that long ago. Man, that's crazy. Like 2014 seems like a long time ago. That's freaking me out right now.
Oh, you want to know something that I saw today on the old Twitter?
The twit. Did you see?
On the Twitter.
The chirpy chirp.
On the chirp. One of the podcasts that I listened to called The Resistance Broadcast. It's one of the Star Wars ones. I follow one of the hosts on that show, John Hoey, and he tweeted today, and it just like spun me out because he's like, Batman Begins, so Christopher Nolan's first one, is as old now as the 1989 Batman was when Batman Begins came out. So I'm like, wait, what? I had to do the math, and it's like it's been – so from 1989 to 2006 was what, 15 years? So from 2006 to now is about the same amount of time.
That's crazy because it feels like, oh, we're redoing another Batman.
Yeah. And then I had to think, I was like, oh, when did The Dark Knight Rises come out? Because 15 years from when that came out, there has to be another really good Batman film. Like that's your time frame, Warner Brothers. That's how long you've got.
Every 15 years.
Yeah. It shouldn't be like that, but that's the way it's probably going to be. Well, who knows how good the Batman's going to be. But anyway, I digressed majorly.
Major digression. Revert.
So I've also been – anything? I've also finished watching Against the Odds. There was a couple more episodes of some soccer players that I didn't get to get through, so I crushed through the rest of those. And I'm on a huge like high on watching like football, soccer films and stuff. And so I'm like trying to track down all these other things. Kept going on with Empire. Crushed through a couple more of those. And I'm like, Terrence Howard is such a good actor. He's so good. I mean, they're all really good in that show, but I'm just like, he is so good. He can go from one to the next to some other emotion all like within a small minuscule of it. And I'm just like, dude, the dude's so good. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if Justin will remember this. Do you remember?
I admit nothing.
You admit nothing?
Who's Justin? I admit nothing. He admits nothing.
Yeah, I thought you were Mr. Fantastic.
Make sure you call your lawyer. I admit nothing.
The first Iron Man.
Yes.
Terrence Howard was the original War Machine. Before Don Cheadle came on board.
You know what's crazy? Like not that long ago when we had discussed on episodes, it was way back when, about watching all the Marvels in chronological order. I was like, I'm going to do it. I sat down. I almost got through the first Iron Man. Like, that's how, as far as I got. I'm going to do all 21 films. And I were like, 45 minutes, I'm done.
Passed it on the gap.
So, but I don't know if I got to him or not. I must not have, because I do not remember that at all. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then they made like a really subtle but not so subtle joke in the second one about how he looks different because they changed the actor.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh,
you know
man.
What? You know what? Maybe unpopular opinion here. I'm not like a huge Terrence Howard fan. Like, I find him as like, I think he's a good actor. I like him. But I don't know. Just not a big fan, I guess. Because there's no doubt he can act and he's good and he's in a lot of stuff and you know, he gets hired for a reason. But you know how just some, I don't know, for some reason you just can't like connect with a performer? I feel that with him. I don't know what it is.
I can't even tell you anything else that he's been in other than Empire and Iron Man. That's it. But all I know is that I'm really enjoying his character work in Empire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, he's stuck. He must have got that show after he got fired from Marvel. Or if he indeed got fired. I knew there was like a, he wanted more money for the sequels, but they're like, we can't afford you. We've got to pay Robert Downey Jr. So we'll get someone else who wants to do the role for less. Anyway, I don't know the politics of it all, but I'm enjoying Empire. Yes. I'm also, I kind of put it on hold for like maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, Family Business, French comedy show about the family that decides to grow marijuana. In the hopes that it gets legalized. Second season now, because I kind of sat down and started watching it, and then all of a sudden the season was over. It's like, dang, it's really, really good. It's very funny. Some of the scenes are just like, whoa, what? Oh, man, what? like surprising. Like, it's kind of it's a certain.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's a certain, like, style of comedy, and the lead, like, the main guy, he can get very, like, erratic and, like, quite big in terms of his personality.
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. And then there are just, like, these really, like, it's like, the female gangster lady that comes in, when you first meet her, she does this thing and it's just like, oh, what? They're actually going to show that? I'm like, what the heck? And then what happens to her?
What is this European stuff?
I know. And then what happens to her in the second season is even more. You're just like, whoa, did they just do that? What?
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, it's quite good.
I'm sold.
I think it's only two seasons at the moment, but I'm just like, please don't go too crazy and go off way off the wire. Reset.
Wooka, wooka. Wooka, wooka.
I'm going to move on.
Hey, actually, on that, I just want to say something because I wanted to mention this. I think it was last episode or maybe it was one of the week that was. And then I didn't get a chance, but I'm so happy you mentioned that because when we watch something, we have this level of believability that we'll accept. And it's interesting how that works because I'll watch a movie and believe that people can travel faster than the speed of light and meet with aliens and do all these sorts of different things that are completely impossible and made up. And unrealistic. But if a storyline in a drama, something happens that's like, well, wait a minute, that wouldn't happen in real life. We hold these like dramas or like these shows that aren't science fiction to like the standard of, well, no. And it's interesting how we do that because I'm the same. But it's like every story, like they make things happen for cause and effect, right?
Yes.
But it's just interesting how we'll, as viewers, accept it in one way, but not in another way. So no. Hold on a second. Not working for me.
No, there's no way that can happen. Real world scenario, that's never gonna happen.
That's never gonna happen. Pack it up.
But a super soldier serum, I buy that.
Yeah. Yeah. All day. It's all possible.
Day. All day.
We hold out for hope.
Just really quickly, yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Just literally, folks, finished the episode before we recorded this, so things are going to be fresh in my mind when we get to that segment. But I watched a film that had been on my watch list for quite a little bit, and I went to go start it a bunch of times, but it's like over 2 hours long, so you're always like, oh, it's a little bit late to kind of start a two-hour film at 10 o'clock at night.
And then you watch 3 hours of TV.
Yeah, 3 hours of episodic TV is fine. I can justify that. But I thought it was a show. Like, I thought it was a series to begin with. And then I looked at the time. I was like, oh, actually, it's a film. And it's Alona Holmes. And
because
it's tight. Because Alona Holmes. Millie Bobby Brown. Henry Cavill and Helena Bonham Carter in Alona Holmes, Sherlock Holmes' younger sister.
What? Wait a minute. Sherlock Holmes had a younger sister?
Well, in this story, she does. I mean, he has a younger or an older brother, Mycroft. Older brother. So I don't know. I've only ever read some of the tales of Sherlock Holmes. So I'm not entirely sure if he does in fact have other siblings. But this is the story of the youngest sibling, who's considerably younger. She's probably 10 years younger than her brothers. So, mm-hmm. And it's really, really good, actually. It's not like the most recent Sherlock Holmes films with Robert Downey Jr., like the Guy Ritchie ones, where there is a mystery to be solved and we, the audience, are taken along on that ride and we're only given little bits every now and then. This one, on her 16th birthday, she wakes up and her mother's gone, but she's left her like a care package that has all of the clues in it on where she is. So it's not like we have to figure out where she is. We know that eventually we're going to find her. It's the mm-hmm. character in the story that has to figure it out. And it's a good arc for her character because she's 16, so she's just sort of entered young womanhood, and her mother has taught her everything herself. So she taught her all about history. She taught her self-defense, all of this stuff to be an independent woman in the world. So this is – you watch it and you're like – so she disappears for a reason, not just for her daughter, but it's also a way for her daughter to then enter into the world.
It's an interesting take on it.
And what's really good about it is that you've got these big artists. You've got Helena Bonham Carter and you've got Henry Cavill, big actors. But they take a very, very large step back and they're just on the sidelines. They are not major characters at all. They're there, they pop up, then they're gone. This is strongly fixated on Millie Bobby Brown as a lead, and she's not overshadowed. That's the one, by these other two actors. And I'm like, this is really, they've done a good job here of sort of like passing the reins on to a new generation of actors, even though like Henry Cavill's not that old. Well, there is Helena Bonham Carter, but you know what I mean? It's like, here's a new one. Let's give her a film. I'm sure she can lead it, and she does really well.
And it's nice to have like that sort of backing behind it.
Yeah.
Because people watch it, you know, because they're in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we know, you know, it has to sell.
Yeah. I mean, she's already a draw card because of Stranger Things and Godzilla
Fair
films.
Enough, yeah.
But now she's an adult herself, so they don't have to market her as like a kid star, right? She's like actually... Here is a...
I'm a star.
Here's a star.
I'm going to be a star someday.
I'd recommend watching it. It's quite quirky. Her character arc is brilliant. She kicks ass. And they've done a really good job of keeping her as the lead. And there's a young man that's in the story as well, but he's not like just there to be a romantic like plot device. So it was done really well, and I really enjoyed it. So,
and it was called again, Alona Holmes.
Alona
Holmes. Alona Holmes. Oh, yes.
Alona so alone, Holmes. Spelled backwards.
Oh.
And she says that in the film a couple times. But you can see it's really good. I really enjoyed it. Just don't start it at 10 o'clock at night. Start it at about 7:30 and then you'll make it the whole way through.
All right.
I think that's what we did. I did have to rewind it once because I did what you did with the Green Book.
Right at the end.
Yeah. And I'm like, what did I miss? And I'm just like rewound it. I'm like, oh, there's like a lot happens in that little 10-minute section there. So
yeah.
Pick it up. Anyway. That's I'm going to round it out on that. What about you?
Nice. Hey, man. Sorry, I'll let you do the whole thing before I come in.
Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, thanks. What's up? You know, man, it was Jocelyn's fifth birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. I did not remember.
It's all right. I barely did.
You just woke up and you're like, what is this gift in my hands? Oh, I give it to my daughter.
What are all these decorations? Is it my birthday today? Yes. So it was her birthday Saturday. Anyway, so of course it's her day, yo. That was what's up. So we did, we've been continuing on the Harry Potters for the second time. So we watched Order of the Phoenix. And then honestly, I was like, man, like I didn't, you know how I normally write things down when I watch them?
Yep.
Well, either I didn't write anything down or I just didn't really watch anything. Because I did watch, we've been watching this, this show Last Chance U, which stands for Last Chance University. It's another sports reality show, and they're hour-long episodes, so it's like it eats some time anyways. And so it's about this like junior college basketball team, and it's where, you know, players end up if they've had academic problems or problems at Div 1 colleges and they've been like, you know, sent down, or kids who are trying to work their way to Division One sports. And they call it Last Chance U because it's like, if you don't make it here, man, like if you don't exceed here, there ain't nothing past us. Like this is the end of the road for you, man. Like you make it or you don't, you know, so get an education or get a scholarship. And it's really good because we watched a bunch of the football ones a while ago. So this is a basketball one. Anyways, so we were watching it and at first I didn't like the coach. I don't like the coach. I mean, there's moments where I like him. But I'm like, man, like this guy, like he's like, you know, I'm a mentor for these kids, you know? And then I watch how he coaches these young adults. And I'm like, man, you ain't no mentor. Like, what are you talking about? Like all you do is tear these people down. Like there's no buildup or encouragement. But, and then there's times where there's a little bit of that, but he's so hyped, man. Like the guy's got so much energy. Like, he'll be literally like running around, like, jumping around. You gotta have speed. You gotta be like this. And he's running and jumping off the wall and like slapping the mat on the wall and like banging the ground and running around. And like, you know, like these kids are like looking at him. He's like, what's up with this guy? Anyway, so I sort of had mixed feelings about it. And then actually there was one time and he gets the kids, because if somebody doesn't listen, like he punishes them, right? Like the whole team, they're running lines, like on the line. So all the kids run to the line this one time and he's just walking around and he's just staring and nobody's talking. And all these guys are like lined up in the running position. Like they're about to like run back and forth in the court, like, you know, five times in a minute. Silent, silent, silent. And then it cuts to like the kids, you know how in reality shows they'll show a bit of the filming of what's happening and then they have the interview part. So then they'll cut to the interview part and the kids will be like, yeah, man, like everything this guy does, he just does to try and get our attention. So I guess this was just another one of his ways to try and get us to pay attention to him. So then there's like a little ticker. It cuts back to the scene and there's like a little ticker on the bottom corner. And it's like 4 minutes silence, 5.5 minutes silence, 6 minutes silence, 7. And he's just like walking around and all these kids are like, what is going on? And then after however long he just throws in the ball, he's like, okay, 5 up. So this guy's like, you're like, what? What is like? What is your strategy? What is it? What is this coaching strategy? Because I am not going to use it anyway. So, but then you start to become invested in some of the players and these kids, man. You want them to succeed, and it was just like really got into it, and I was so disappointed, man. It was the most anticlimactic thing ever because it's going and they get to playoffs and it's regionals. They got to win regionals to go to state. Cause the thing is, man, you got to get to state. That's where you're going to get seen. That's where you're going to get scouted and you want to win state. So they're in the regional finals. They finally make it there and they got to win and they're down at the half and they're the better team. They're just getting outplayed. They're not doing well. They end up coming back from adversity, win the game, man. They go into state. It's like, I was like, yeah, like it's happening. Like, so excited. I'm rooting for them. Next episode, COVID hits. Everything gets shut down. I was like, what? I was like, what is this crap? I was like, I wish I would have known this before. I wouldn't have invested because you want to see these kids, man. You get so invested in their lives and stuff. And then it showed at the end, like some of them ended up getting scholarships and moving on. But it's like, I want to see these games. Like, I want to see them win because some of these kids, like some of them have problems, man. Some of them are just like really good players. They just, you know, they just struggle in school. Like really good kids, really good players. Just, you know, it's the way it is sometimes. So that took up all my time and ended up in like the biggest disappointment. But man, so we had the scheduled power outage. So Kate and I are just like, is in the evening and we were watching on the phone because we wanted to finish it and we're lying in bed. And she goes to bed before me, like, I got to finish it. I got to see what happens. And like the funniest moment happened ever, man. And I was just like, started just busting a gut and she wakes up. What's so funny? Like, what? I'm sleeping. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to show you tomorrow though. You'll forgive me because I'm going to show you tomorrow and then you'll understand. So I showed her and I was forgiven. That was it. So yeah. So that was basically my week of just trying to get through something and then
disappointed.
That's just like, so like, when I would have been so happy, loss, I would have been like, dang it, I want to see somebody win, but no ending? Come on. That's some bull, man.
Can you imagine the showrunners there? They're just like, well, we're going to sell this out.
Yeah.
We just want to tell them how it ends.
Yeah. Don't put any of the end stuff in the trailer.
Yeah. And they're almost at that point. All they got to do is win. COVID.
Yeah.
The next day.
Yeah.
What?
But at one point it was funny, like everybody else had got shut down, like everywhere. NBA, professional sports, Div 1 colleges were all shut down at one point. It was the only like tournament going on. They were the only ones playing. And they're like, come on, they just wanted to finish, right? Because they worked so hard to get there. And a lot of kids, this is their last year, right? And it's, you want to win, man. Like, it's one thing to go through, but like to win, like means a lot for these kids. I was like, nope.
Nope. We're going to take it away from you.
Global pandemic. Too bad, so sad.
Too bad, so sad. Well, that sounds like an interesting show that I will never watch, but I just heard about it from you. So I'm all good. I'm sold.
Yeah.
I do know one thing that we both watched, though, that we haven't spoken about yet.
I'm excited about this. I don't know. We're obviously going to talk about the world. The whole world is watching.
I really got to start reading the titles of episodes.
Dude, don't do it till after.
I didn't even make I just clicked and watched. And, folks, we're talking about Disney Plus's Monster Hurt. The Falcon.
Falcon.
And the.
And the.
Winter Soldier.
Did we do that on time?
Perfect synchronicity. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. part of the Marvel Studios lineup of shows. They started off with WandaVision, and then they got this one, and then I think it's Hawkeye is next. I'm looking forward to that one too.
What? Hawkeye has his own? I thought it was Loki.
What is Loki? Hawkeye's getting one too.
Are you kidding me right now? I had no idea. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. This is legit. It's
with Jeremy Renner.
Yep.
And I'm excited for that. Talking about superheroes without superpowers, that guy's just got a bow and arrow. He's as super as it gets, man.
Yep. It's him and his daughter that showed up in Endgame, but she's obviously so. Who in the comics ends up being like another version of Hawkeye, like another bow and arrow maestro? So good times ahead. I don't know which Loki's obviously the next one that comes out because the trailer's dropped, but
yeah, Loki's in June.
Probably the next.
You know, I kind of like that. I guess that's what Disney's doing too. I wonder if that's ultimately their game plan, is to have something from the universe like always on, and then do a big one. Maybe that's the new route they're taking, instead of like they all get their own movies. Maybe some movies, but TV shows.
Yeah, they're just expanding the platform because they're like, give all of these characters a film because not all of them are like big heroes, right? So that's why they're like, we'll give
TV Falcon show
and then Winter Soldier TV show, and we'll give Hawkeye a TV show. I would have liked to have seen a Hawkeye film, really, because Black Widow gets her own film, obviously, because she's a big character. But do you remember all through those films, they're always like, what happened in Budapest or whatever between those two? That is going to get talked about in the Black Widow film. But you could have done the same thing from a Hawkeye's, like, and had the films running parallel. And then at some point, that part of the story crosses over. But what am I? I'm not Kevin Feige, so I'm not making billions of dollars making these films. So.
I got to tell you, though, man, I kind of like, I hope they do a, I don't know if she would sign on, but I hope they would do a Black Widow TV show, because like you say, you can't do all movies, but honestly, and especially after watching this last episode of the Falcon and Winter Soldier, the whole world is watching, man, I am down for some more Marvel TV shows right now. Like I wasn't like huge on WandaVision, man, but the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, man, they're doing something right. And with this episode, holy cow. You know what it reminded me of a bit?
What did it remind you of?
The end, which we'll get to eventually, but it reminded me of The Boys.
Right? Oh, sure, so I haven't seen.
Yeah.
But those of you that have seen The Boys, that might give you a hint about what the episode was, I'm guessing.
Well, no, it's not like it's the end. It's what happened at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And when we discuss it, I can get into it a bit more. As to why?
Disclaimer, folks, those of you that don't want to be spoiled, don't listen to the next 20, 30 minutes. Those of you that don't mind, stay tuned. I'm going to start off by saying this. This episode was, I felt, much more cinematic in its, like, the quality of the way that it was shot than, say, truck fight scene.
Truck fight scene. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be hard not to be more cinematic than that.
But it shows you how it can be done, right? You can do these epic fight scenes between super soldiers and heroes on a TV in inverted commas budget versus here's something that Justin was very clearly able to go, that's a green screen. That's a green screen. We always did things in real life. What's wrong with green screens?
Man.
It's all fake.
But I definitely agree with that. And it was also just, I thought it was like a really good episode, man. Like even from like the beginning where the Dora Milaje, is it? They it's like you see that moment, like the episode starts off and it's where Bucky, the Winter Soldier, is freed for the first time. He is freed. The Winter Soldier is no more. He's become the White Wolf. And you see that transition. And I was just like, boom, right away. I was like, okay. And then it cuts to current time in there. And it's just like, I just like right away, I thought, okay, they've established that connection between those two people. Because there was something, you could tell there was a connection. And then that's how that episode started. And you're like, okay, like these people are, she freed him. She freed him from the Winter Soldier. So right away, you're like, you know, it's like, here we go.
That was the first thing that I wrote down. I wrote down all of the like breaking of the trigger words. I wrote them all down as they were like coming on the screen. I was like, this looked like something important. And oh, I'm having a mind blank of his name. The Winter Soldier. That
Bucky Barnes.
His actual real life name.
What? He's not a real person. He's Bucky.
He's Bucky.
Don't call him by his real name.
That performance there, like we talked about performances earlier, like with Terrence Howard. I'm like, I watched that and that's a, you can see what someone is literally going through. That bit of direction, I want to know what was said to him to, because he goes from this is not going to work, and then she's saying all of the de-triggering words, like the resetting him words, and he's like, the gears are going in his head and the emotion is coming and then his eyes well up and the tears come and then he looks at her for like reassurance, like it's over, like I'm myself again. And then he's like back in his, and I'm like, oh man, I was like, I love and I long to be witness to performances like that. I was like, dang. And this is the first like 2 minutes.
I know, and right away, man. And I love that. And then she's like, you are finally free. And you're just like, damn, that was really good. So powerful.
I'm going to say this. Bold prediction. Not about the show. Not about the show. Not about the show. The dude that plays Zemo, Daniel Bruhl or Bruhl?
Bruhl? Brul.
I could totally see him as a
Brûlé.
Brûlé. It's B R U with the two like accent dots above it. HL.
Oh, I think that's Russian.
Brûl.
Brûl. I don't know. I have Daniel no idea. I'm just making stuff up.
I could see him as a James Bond villain.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh, he's so right.
Something about him. He's very subtle, but he's extremely intimidating and sinister at the same time. I'm just like, the dude knows things that he's not telling anyone, and he's ruthless. He's
shifty.
He's
a shifty guy, man. Yeah.
But it's just something like, about him. He's just like, he's playing everybody.
Oh, yeah. And like you say, subtly. And it's subtle enough that as an audience, you're a bit uneasy.
Yeah.
Because with John Walker, because I ain't calling him the new Captain America anymore. And we're going to get into that. He's John friggin' wannabe Walker. Like you can see, like we were talking about episodes past, we're like, oh, yo, this guy's going to be a bad dude. This guy is not a good guy. Like, I got a feeling. Zemo, you don't know what's going on. You feel like he's up to something, but what does he do with the serum in this episode?
And you're like, I was like, really?
Because he got a hold of the serum, right? And you're like, oh my goodness, is he going to take it? Is he going to take one of the doses? What's he going to do? He throws it on the ground and starts stomping on it. I was like, what? What is happening? So yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. Like there's something not right, but I can't put my finger on it. And I like that. I really like how they're not making that clear to the audience because it's not clear to the characters. So it sort of works.
There's a line in the episode that I think summed up this episode and probably what's going to happen. And it came from what's his face.
John Walker?
No, his partner.
Battlestar? You saw Battlestar, my Battlestar.
Yeah.
we should laugh. Like, he's...
he's maybe very, very badly hurt.
He may be injured.
Injured? Power makes you more of yourself.
Mm, yeah.
Now, when he said that line, I was like, oh, okay. This is definitely an episode. I mean, it's, and you're looking at all these other levels, and every single one of them during the episode talks about would they take the serum if they were given the chance, or those that are already on it, like what's it like being on it? Like, mm-hmm. And they really did well of like in the last episode, right? The flag smashes. You were like, who are these people? They're a bunch of like just random folks that have all somehow, you know, from the power broker taking the super soldier serum. And then what are they doing with it? They're trying to right the world of the, I'm guessing like the corruption that the government's trying to impose on the citizens.
The John Walkers of the world.
Trying to control the world. And they're like, no, you know, let the people govern themselves. So that's what I'm kind of getting a feeling of. They're freedom fighters.
They're absolutely freedom fighters.
In their eyes, but then in John Walker's eyes, they're terrorists. So
it's funny how that works, because in their eyes, you know, the government, the US government or the government that runs that program and Captain America are the bad dudes. Yeah. And it's interesting because not the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because she says, I want you to join us in this episode. I want you to join us. Killing you would mean nothing, she said to the Falcon, straight up. Killing you would mean nothing. I'm going to kill Captain America. That's what I'm going to do.
Because she has to test him. She's like, hence why she does the threat to his sister and his nephews. It's like, I just had to kind of see what kind of person you were. And I know that you don't work for that man. You don't work for Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You're trying to find a truth in all of this. So come help us, help the cause.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Hey, so question to you.
Yes.
Why not? John Walker. John Wannabe. That's what we call John Wannabe. John Wannabe. Zemo, after he crushed the things, there's one left, and John Wannabe picks it up and he puts it in his pocket. He has it. We talked about this, man. We're like, he's going to take the serum. It's got to happen. And he holds it in his pocket, and then he meets with Battlestar, and they had that conversation that you talked about. And he took that as a, like, yes, I should take it. I'm a good person. I want good things. I'm here to serve and protect. That's what he believes. So he takes the serum. Would you take the serum?
It's a good question. I'm going to say no, I wouldn't take the serum. I'm going to be like Sam. I'm going to straight away not even think about it. I would not take it, because without thinking too much, I'd be worried about what aspect of my psyche it would affect, because that's one of the parts I've got here. The serum brings out in each different one of these people a different aspect of what they want, right? So Steve Rogers, when he took it, he's the only one that hasn't been corrupted, because he had a strong heart and he wanted to help people. So it amplified that aspect of him. Bucky, it's a little difficult because you don't really know much of his backstory when he was injected with it. I mean, he was obviously tortured. He has an ability. He wants to right his wrongs. So the serum is going to affect him in that way, and he wants to prove himself as a good person, not as a trained assassin. And then you've got the flag smashers. You know, they think that what they're doing is the righteous thing for the people versus what the government's saying is the righteous thing. So they're going to – that's what they're doing. And then you get someone like John Wannabe Walker.
Yeah.
He just wants to be the best, right? He's in his head going, I've won 3 Medal of Honors, but I could have done more. Like, he even says it. He's like, can you imagine what we could have done if we had the serum? How many people we would have been able to save?
You know what I liked about that quote too, when he said, and I thought, wow, I've never heard that perspective from a veteran before. And I know it's written and it's dramatized, obviously, but I thought, oh, that's holds value. It's got a point. Because they get these certain medals if they've survived certain things.
Yeah.
And if they've survived really bad things, they get higher medals. Or done certain things. And he said, he's like, oh, great. I have 3 medals to always help me remember the worst day of my life. I thought, wow, that's interesting. That's an interesting way of looking at it. So he's haunted, you know, there's something dark in him.
That's what I'm thinking. Cause he's obviously,
he wants good.
Yeah. He wants to prove himself as being a hero, even though he's not a superhero. He's an everyday man. So he's obviously trying to prove himself, but that level of proveness means what ends will I go to get what and it's obviously corrupting his brain. He's either one, he's either suffering from some form of PTSD. I was going to say PTSD. It's not that. PTSD, and he's obviously in the shadow of Steve Rogers.
Yeah, not easy.
And then he's like, I had a theory, right? I think he took the serum before he even brought it up at the bar there, asking Battlestar if he would take it. I was like, he's already taken it, and he's trying to get his buddy to justify that it was the right thing to do. Because you never see it, right? He's like, oh, I'll put it in my pocket for safekeeping. Steve Rogers would have just crushed that straight away. Or he would have given it to
crushed it right down the hatch. No, I'm just
kidding. Or he would have given it to Tony or something. Like, he would have given it to Iron Man to do something with. Yeah. But he was like, oh, I'm going to keep this. It's like, well, you're not going to keep it unless you think that he's not strong enough, right?
Well, and I think I know it. What put him over the top? I think when the Dormilaje came.
Oh yeah, and just
that was
schooled him.
That was the best. It was like they show up, and Walker's like, you know, what is he? They're talking, and John Wannabe says the Dormilaje don't have jurisdiction here, and then she's just like, the Dormilaje have jurisdiction wherever the Dormilaje find themselves to be.
Yeah.
I was just like, damn, like she said it was just like authority. And then he tries to fight them and they whoop his butt. And he says right after, he says, damn, and they're not even supers, or they're not even.
Yeah. They're not even super soldiers.
They're not even super soldiers. That's what he's competing with. So I think that was like the trigger for him, you know?
I've got that written down right here. Tipping point when he loses that fight. And it's not even like he loses that shield. And it's not even to what's her name? The main one, the strongest one. It's the other lady that's there. She just and she's like, leave the shield. So she drops it on the ground. So yeah, he's like, well, how am I supposed to compete as the savior of, you know, the people? If a regular person can just hand it to me.
Yeah. Like hand it to John Wannabe.
All I've got is this shield. But yeah, that's why I was like, that's a tipping point. I'm pretty sure he took it before the next scene where he bends the pipe and like destroys the flag smashes. Destroys the microphones. I'm trying to remain...
Holy cow.
Whoa, not as animated.
Karate chopping a little close there.
Whoa.
Man, I got to tell you, that shield represents something different now.
Very much so.
Oh, boy. I mean, dude, so when that happened, when one of the flag smashers seriously injured Battlestar, you could see it happening. You saw that transition in the eyes. And you're like, okay, this is gonna happen. I didn't think it was gonna happen the way it happened, though. I just thought like he's gonna snap, but man, when he chased him down and you're like you see the you're like, oh, he's taken the serum. Like this is basically his first time experimenting with his new strengths.
Yep.
You know? And when he hunts him down and all those cameras come out and it ended the way it did, I was like, oh, I mean, that moment reminded me of the boys because it's that moment where he stands up and the crowd is watching him and he looks around and he realizes what he did and he looks around and he sees all those people staring at him, knowing and seeing what he just did as the Captain America and with that shield and what that shield represents. You could see that moment of his eyes of like, you know, what do I do? And then the episode ends. Like, but it was like, for me, it was a moment of like, you this is where he jumps in and he goes full evil or he doesn't, you know? So I thought it was like a perfect way to end on a cliffhanger because I don't know. I don't know which way. Like, they got to get him. Falcon, they got to get Captain America now. You can't let that slide. So what do you do? What do you do when the hero becomes the villain?
Becomes a villain.
Yeah. And a hero with superpowers.
Well, yeah, now, I mean, now he's kind of, he's either going to go off the grid or the US government's going to be like, sweet, we've got another super soldier. But you don't know.
But bad press. But bad like press. Really bad press. It's he just smashed some
world
guys.
Savior.
Yeah. But well, he was a terrorist in the eyes. The guy he killed was a terrorist in the eyes of many. But also on the other side, he was a freedom fighter, like we discussed. Like, yeah. There's no doubt John Wannabe is in the wrong here. He needs to go down and down hard.
Yeah, because even when Steve Rogers was, you know, Thanos killed half of the world's population, he didn't go ballistic. I mean, Thor did. Thor was the one that went nutso.
Yeah.
But Steve Rogers didn't. He always kept a level head. So you got to think, you wonder what that's doing to his psyche. I wonder if they're going to explore it. I mean, I know they've only got 2 episodes left, which is very sad. But he's going to have to go through something very dark, very quick. He's either going to try and justify his means and say that he did it for the right thing, the safety of the people. Revenge is, you know, sometimes the right thing to do.
Okay.
This is one thing, like the character's probably like,
yeah,
you know what? Revenge, you kill my friend, yeah. I'm going to kill just one of you randoms because if I don't, and you're going to keep killing innocent people. That's probably what he's thinking.
Yeah. No, I agree with the justification 100%. But it was a little more than just killing a guy. Like, that was like savage.
Yeah.
That was like, you know.
Smash you with a vibranium shield disc until I saw your
concrete step. Yeah.
Yeah. Sever you probably from your body.
Yeah.
Judging by the amount of blood that was on the shield, I think that's what happened.
And there's that moment too. I was like, oh, yeah.
He didn't stop at one bash. He had to keep going and going and going and going.
And and then it was like that moment of symbolism where normally like the shield comes into the frame and it's like, you know, it holds this like
symbol of
value to it. Yeah, the symbol. And then when he was smashing the guy's head, and then he goes up and the sun hits it and it's like a close camera shot on the shield and the star. That's when I was just like, man, this symbol means something totally different now. Yep. Like, how are they going to get it back? Because this is what the world sees as Captain America now. This is all they're going to see is this shield and this guy. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I always, Captain America, I always ate a lot of crap about it. But like, Captain America was always my favorite of the Marvel ones that came out. I didn't read comic books or anything like that, but of all the Marvel ones that came out of all the different characters. Like the Captain America ones have been my favorite. I've really liked them. So this is just like a continuation of that for me, and took a left turn, and so it's kind of like, I'm excited to see where it goes.
See, it's probably because his character traits, Steve Rogers' character traits, are ones that you see in yourself, or you
Let me finish.
Or you like to think that that is what is the ideal person in the world, right? To do things right. There's a certain way you do things, right? Right? Get this right. Get this. I'm a psychiatrist.
You're splitting the open here, mate. Really. I've never thought of it like this. I like that he dove on a grenade. I thought that was cool. I was like, that's backbone, man. Like, yeah, this kid just dove on a grenade for all of you, and you guys, is, you know, give two crafts about him.
Yeah, he's got the biggest heart. He's the smallest guy with the biggest heart, and then he ends up being the biggest guy with the biggest heart.
And a really cool shield.
And America's behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, Johnny Wannabe ain't no Steve Rogers. That's for show.
That's for show.
Now, I'm just going to point out a few technical things here quickly before, if there's anything else. Last episode, I said it was very much a Bucky episode. Mm-hmm. Like he was. This episode was a lot more Sam. Now, I know that this is what TV does, folks. TV will have an overarching story, and then they'll go, this one's going to be focused on this character, and this one's going to be a little bit more on this character, and this, and so you get a full picture of these people. So, because I was like, how are they, episode one sets up Sam and his sister and the struggling family, and then it kind of disappeared. I'm like, and now it's brought back into the fold, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're using it as a bargaining chip, but not, I mean, she might come back in it again in the next two episodes, who knows, but it appeals to the humanity and the human side of Sam's character, mm-hmm. and what he would do, not just for his country, but also for his family. So I really enjoyed the fact that it was a lot more on him, because he was going in to all of these scenarios in the episode as just as a human, as a mm-hmm. regular guy. And he's like, I know that everyone here can probably beat me.
It's everyone. Super soldier.
Either super soldier or Wakanda warrior, like everyone. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I still know that I've got something to offer.
It's true. It's funny. I absolutely noticed that, because you had mentioned that you thought last episode was a Bucky episode. So I picked up on it. And it's funny because when I noticed it, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is because last week was a Bucky heavy, even though I didn't feel like it was a Bucky, but you called it. I think you called it, because this week did feel a bit like, I don't want to say Sam heavy, but it was definitely Sam heavy.
Even though it started off with Bucky.
You said you didn't want to say it.
Okay, yeah, I said it. Listen to your gut. But yeah, I read somewhere, like I quickly read after I watched the episode, some things online where other people had kind of been thinking, like major publications. Someone brought up a good point. They're like, the show is nearing the too many villains problem, like Spider-Man 3. And I was like, oh, really? Yeah. And then you're kind of thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, so you've got the Flag Smashers, you've got Zemo, and now you've possibly got John Walker. So I'm like, I get it.
Whoa, John Wannabe, please.
John Wannabe. And then I thought, well, you know what? It's a little bit more, not straightforward, and it's complex, but it's also, you can see who the real bad guy is here. You can see. This old Captain Wannabe America, I see him as the guy that is the one that is going to be the most, not evil, him and Zemo, right? Zemo's got his own agenda, which we don't know about yet, but we'll find out. Like he broke out of prison to help them track down the super soldier serum and mm-hmm. the Flag Smashers, figure out what was going on there. He has suddenly destroyed all the vials of super soldier serum. He's killed the scientist that recreated it. yet he's still got an agenda that we don't know of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there more? Is he going to go on a manhunt to take them all down? Is he working all angles to take everybody down? Like, what's going on there?
It could be a setup. Maybe they're I mean, it's got to go somewhere. If Marvel's onto another, like, big sort of run, you know? This is what they do that Marvel does so well, is they really take their time in building up the story before the conclusion. I mean, we just mentioned many times, the first one was 21 movies. It's 21 movies. So maybe it's just that. I certainly disagree with that statement 100% because I don't think there's too many bad guys. I, like you mentioned, it's very clear who's good and who's bad. The Flag Smashers ain't bad.
Maybe in my opinion, says something about us and our views on.
Well, look at the Falcon. The Falcon right away is sympathizing with him. And he even says, like, there's got to be a peaceful resolution to this. These people aren't, you know, they're not evil people. Yeah, they're doing things that
could be done better.
Yeah, but what they want to achieve in the end is what is better and best for humanity to them. And let's be frank, probably to everyone,
yeah.
Even though some might not agree. But you know, their cause is just, I feel, and the Falcon sees that.
Because he's seeing it as a blip survivor, well, as a blip re-emerger. Because he's like, these mm-hmm. people saw the world one way, saw it another way, only to see it turn back to the original way, and they're mm-hmm. trying to create a balance of the between. So mm-hmm. he's level-headed enough to see that what they're trying to do. Whereas, you know, the American government is like, or the GRC, mm-hmm. they're like, no, it has to be this specific way.
We must be in control.
Which we is setting up for, if there is another Avengers film, they're definitely going to be outsiders. Definitely. They're not going to be working for the government.
Yeah, if they'll be going against him.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'd go against him. Interesting. Bold predictions. Yes. No. Interesting theories.
Interesting theories.
Bold predictions and interesting theories.
Now, quickly before we move on, I've got a bunch of things that I thought were hilarious from the episode. Did you make a note of anything that like jumped out at you? That,
man, I just like, I you know what? Funny enough, none of my notes were of any of that stuff. Because normally when I watch it, I'm putting notes into my phone as I'm watching it on TV. But we watched it. We had a scheduled power outage last night. Well, I watched it last night because I want it to be fresh. So I watched it on my phone. So I couldn't take notes. So I was just like, I have to do this. I wasn't trying to remember every. I was like, I got to focus my memories. I must really. Pick and choose what I store in my hippocampus from this viewing.
In your brain
but
skull.
I do in my brain skull, but I do remember funny moments, yes, but I need to know what because when you say it, I'll be refreshed.
Bucky and Zemo are having the like big old bravado contest in the hall where they're like shove each other. Yeah, and Sam's just like, he's like, you know, let him go. He's just going to do the head tilt thing and try and intimidate you. And I was like, I love that they keep making Sam points out all of the like cliches and tropes of super like, of these films. It's like, he's going to have the stare. He's going to have the head tilt. He's going to do this, this, and this. I'm like, I think that is great. It's a great, 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 wonderful thing that they're pointing out.
So true.
They're very self-aware.
Yes, that's a very good way of putting it because I find it very interesting because it's to me, it's almost, it's like as close as you can get to breaking the fourth wall without breaking it. It's yes. like they're not addressing us directly, but by them pointing it out, they're addressing to us that they know that it's happening in the show. It's yes. like this weird sort of like way of doing it. So I always, when it happens, I sort of take it as almost like breaking the fourth wall, even though they're not, but it's.
Maybe they realized that they did that in my too brain, much in Scott. WandaVision. That was a lot of fourth wall playing around in that one.
Bro, I've already forgotten about WandaVision. Like, forget about it.
Forget about it. Hey.
Hey. Forget about it.
I think I covered everything else. I got a whole bunch of notes that I spoke about that we haven't already covered that we have.
You're not even going to talk. You're not even going to talk about your text message, your message that you sent to me.
Oh yeah.
Or do we not have time for it?
No. We got time. So, folks, you may remember from episodes gone by that the name The Bruv comes from a message that I wrote to Justin when I can't even remember what the news was that broke. Oh, it was when Warner Brothers was like announcing all of their films for 2021 were going direct to HBO Max. And I was like, bruh, 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 bruh. I got some bomb track news. And he's like, whoa, 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 can't wait, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. It turns out that Justin already knew of the same news.
Yeah.
But today I was like, bra, 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 bra. Some big news came again, and I'm going to throw it in really quickly because I was going to wait until the week that was our mini Thursday episodes, but I'm going
It's too to, big. It's too huge, big. People. He messaged me again, and he literally messaged that. Bruv, bruv, bruv. I've got some big news. Just saw it. And so, man, I'm excited.
So by the time you hear this on a Monday, it's going to be about a week old anyway. But the good old folks at Netflix are probably forking out a ton of money.
Oh.
But they've greenlit a season 3 and a season 4. And I think Mr. Fantastic knows what I'm going to say. So I'll let him finish.
Of The Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
Heck yes, I saw that. Are you kidding me?
Big news. So, historically speaking, every big news that I have, he's seen it already. So we're two from two. And now you guys know it as well.
Yes. Yes. So good if you haven't watched it, people. And if you want to know more news in the trades, come back Thursday. But until then... Hey, she's too good at these trivia things. I gotta make a rewind. Yo, man, Rachel's been crushing it on these dang trivia questions. Although I do know, bruv, I do know that you've sort of. Hey, so listen, I hit Rachel up with this trivia question last week, right? I was like, what was the first and only Oscar ever to win Best Picture? Silent film to win Best Picture. Well, the answer was Wings, of course. And Rachel got it right. Of course. Because she just knows everything. And that's why I made this question a little bit harder this week. But my point I want to get at is Hayden actually pointed out that there's two silent films that have won Best Picture.
Yeah. Two. I didn't know about Wings. I just went straight away. 2011, The Artist, silent film, won for Best Picture.
And I had totally forgotten about it because it was sort of, people weren't exactly happy with it. It was very controversial. So I don't know what's up with my trivia questioning.
And maybe, Rachel, you might know the answer to this. I might have something wrong. Maybe Maybe the question was worded differently. Maybe the artist isn't fully silent. I can't remember, but there are two in my eye. My mind's eye says that there are two.
So people, let us know. Is there one? Is there two? I don't know. We'll never know. But what I do know is this week, I've made it, you know, this is kind of a fun one because this isn't one, it's not one that you would easily know, but it is one that you could have a fun guess at. And that is, which actor has been portrayed most on screen by other actors? So kind of fun. It's not so much like a weird trivia question of an old movie as it is you got to get into the old brain skull in this one. Which actor has been portrayed most on screen by other actors? I'm excited to hear you and your boyfriend's answers. So good luck. Hey,
good luck with that one.
So good luck.
It's time for Rachel's review.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Rachel's Reviews. I am obviously going to start off with answering Justin's question. It's a really good question because I'm stuck between two different people. I had narrowed it down to two actors for this answer, but the question was, which actor has been portrayed on screen the most, I believe, by other actors? This is actually a really tough question because I'm trying to think of who have I seen most in movies. And I've narrowed it down to two. They're two male actors. But I guess, see, then this is really hard. So I'll just give you my two right now. So my top two that I would think are either Orson Welles or Charlie Chaplin, because you have to kind of think about this and go back as further as you can. I want to say it's Chaplin because he's more actor than Orson Welles was, but a lot of people portray Orson Welles as a director in movies these days, a la Mank recently. But this is really tough. I think I want to narrow it down to Chaplin because so many people have portrayed him. So I'm just going to roll with that. That's a big guess, though. So if I'm wrong, just tell me. But I feel like it's either of the two who have both been portrayed by many a people and who have all done a very good job on it. Side note for Orson Welles, if you've never seen Me and Orson Welles starring Zac Efron, and I believe it's Claire Danes, give it a shot. It's actually pretty good. It's by Richard Linklater. I think it's a little underappreciated, but I kind of like it. So this week, I'm going to actually give a full review of a movie. I'm just going to run through some stuff that I've seen lately that blew me away. I watched Sorcerer by William Friedkin. It's not a horror movie, but my Lord, I was terrified during the whole thing. It's so good. There's a really great Nickelodeon documentary on Hulu called The Orange Years. It's very nostalgic. There is a comedy rom-com horror movie called Spontaneous where people just spontaneously combust, but it's kind of cute. I watched The Limey, which is directed by Steven Soderbergh, and it is wonderful. It's so good, starring Terrence Stamp. Highly recommended. It's a really good Los Angeles movie, too. I watched Penguin Bloom, starring Naomi Watts, on Netflix. And let's see, what else did I see that's worth mentioning? Tucker, The Man and His Dreams, starring Jeff Bridges, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Definitely worth it. And then I saw Malcolm X from Spike Lee, which that I'll talk about next week. I'm going to speak about Denzel and Spike Lee collaborations. But this week, I'm going to mention and talk about one more movie that we saw on Friday last week when it dropped, but it is Nobody. So Nobody stars Bob Odenkirk. The supporting cast is great. It's Christopher Lloyd, RZA, Connie Nielsen, Michael Ironside. There's just so many people, but Christopher Lloyd, I love him. He plays his dad in the movie, and I'm so happy to see him still working at 82 years old. And he wanted to do all of his own stunts and wanted to carry the guns that he carries in the movie all on his own, and I give him major round of applause and props. So Nobody was directed by Ilya Noshuler, who directed, I probably butchered that last name, but he directed Hardcore Henry. I cannot watch Hardcore Henry because it messes up my vision too much because I have vision problems and first person perspective just doesn't do it for me. But it, the movie, this is where I'm going to get into it. So the action in the movie is really great and it's really well done and it's the choreography is wonderful. It's by a stunt choreographer named Greg Rementer, who has been doing a lot of stunt work and coordination for a lot of big Marvel movies lately. And he did a second coordinator on some Mandalorian episodes. So needless to say, like, the stunts are really wonderful. And Bob Odenkirk trained for, I think it was like 2 years or something like that for this role. And it shows. I mean, he did perfectly well. He is jacked. But that's pretty much the only good thing really about the movie. And I hate to say it because, you know, I found this new love for action movies, but it misses so many marks. The story is very cookie cutter and it's similar to John Wick, like almost too much that it takes you out of the movie. While it's great, it loses a lot of steam in the storyline, which is not what you want in any movie. So I couldn't get past how poorly the plot was. It's just stuff that I've seen before, setups that are very typical. You know, it deals with at one point a group of bad Russian mafia men, and you're like, okay, well, we've seen this before. Okay, come on. So I'd have to say it's worth a watch mainly for the action itself and seeing Bob Odenkirk and the supporting cast as well, like I said. And it has a fun little like Home Alone vibe to the very end, which is kind of cool. But as a whole, lot missing for me. So I wouldn't rate it high, unfortunately. I'd rate it high in the stunt department, but low on everything else. All right. Well, that's my shtick for this week, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Hey man, look, I forgot my sound effects the last couple weeks. I had to be on my game today. I had to be prepared. I crushed it.
Killed it. Destroyed it. Thanks, Rachel, for another wonderful Rachel's review and recommendations. That, folks, was the sound of ice.
Ding-a-ling-a-ding,
clinking in the glass, which only could mean one thing. That we've reached the part of the show.
He's back on the wagon.
Yep. I never got off. The whiskey shot. The whiskey shot is a Wooden Bowl Films version of the martini shot. And to give you a little bit of film history like I do every week, the martini shot was the word that was used on set when you came to the final shot of the day. So you'd call out the whiskey shot, shoot your shot, call it a day. That's a wrap. Cut it, print it, throw it away. So the whiskey shot is our version of it because whiskey plays a part in the formation of our little film escapades. And we'll probably continue to take part. So this is the part of the show where we brainstorm, put our heads together and go, what are we going to watch next week? If anything comes of it, who knows? And if we're going to write or do anything creative, this is where we spout it out to the world. So I'll get the ball rolling. I am going to continue watching Family Business because I want to get to the end of the season, and they're pretty short episodes. They're about 30 minutes. So to crush through the whole season on Netflix of all places, it's really easy to do. So I'm going to do that. Learn me some French along the way. I'm starting to pick up words. I'm like, I know what that one. I'm going to go watch some more Empires. They're a little bit longer. So maybe you only get one of those or two of those in a night, but that's all right. I'm going to try and throw in some films. I've got a bunch on the watch list that I want to get to, but who knows if I'll get to any of those. Or something new will come along and be like, oh, I want to watch that. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. I am going to hashtag get those pages because I have a couple of days off this week.
Maybe.
Took some vacation days. Maybe I'm going to write some things. I might even scribble down that idea that I talked about last week, that one with Liam that I had an idea for. So that's my week. Some TV shows, some films, some script writing. I also actually have my camera's memory card sticking in my computer's memory card slot right here. And I'm going to check out what is on that. I think there is some video or of something on there. So something of something on there. I'm going to try and find that out and do some editing and play around with it and see what's going on. And maybe I'll talk about it next week. You never know. So I have to tune in. That's what I got going on. What about you, Justin? What you got going on?
Man.
It's going on. It's going on.
It's going on. It's going on. It's going on. It's going on. I started Alita, Battle Angel, during the power outage. I fell asleep with the phone in my hand. Not because I wasn't enjoying it, because, man, I was in it. I was into it.
And then you were out of it.
And then I was like, it's late. I got to be up early because I gotta go work on Bowen Island tomorrow. And then the next thing I remember is waking up. So I'm going to finish that because it was, I don't know what I expected from it, to be honest, because it'd been so long since I'd really heard anything about it and I'd sort of forgotten about it. And then when it popped up, I was like, oh shoot, I'm going to check this out. So yeah, I like that, watching a show or a film and you don't know what it's about. You don't know what's going to happen. You're just going into it sort of blind. So I say it's not what I expected, but I had no idea what to expect, but I still stand by that. It's not what I thought it was going to be. Whatever I thought it was going to be wasn't that. Excited for that one. Ah, man, I don't know. I don't know what else. I don't know what else we can get into. I know we're going to watch, you know, Eagle Guy and the Summer Soldier for show. Yeah. Oh, actually, I wanted to talk to you about. We should watch Nomadland. Because Nomadland is out. So we could.
I thought you said Nomadland. Nomadland.
I probably
don't
did.
Be angry.
It's the whiskey. It's the whiskey shot, okay?
Oh, man. Yeah. I added it to my watch list.
Nice. I love my watch list. My lists are the best because it's all this awesome stuff that you're like, oh, man, this looks awesome. I'm going to watch it one day that you never watch. And it just sits there forever. There's like one or two things I watch off my list, and the other stuff I'm like, yeah, I'm not quite ready for it. You know, I'm not quite ready to watch that yet, but I'm really excited when I watch it.
What I do is once I watch it, I don't remove it from the list. So it sits there and I'm like, man, my watch list is huge.
Yeah.
Oh, I've watched that.
My watch list, bro, your watch list is so huge.
That's what I have
planned. Probably going to look for a new, another show or something. That's it.
Right.
That's
on.
It. Yes, sir.
Cool beans. All right, folks. So with that, it's going to be, I'm going to say, a standard week for the folks here at From a Certain Point of View, Wooden Bill Film Podcast.
A standard week.
A standard week. Which means that it's going to be not a standard week next week. Because you know what didn't happen this week? I didn't have any dribbly bibbly stories. So hey. I'm bound to have some coming up. Guaranteed. Probably happen tonight. So stay tuned for more of those because we all love to hear how adult men dribble all over themselves.
I thought we've moved on. I thought we're just calling it what it is. You drooling on yourself.
Straight up drooling. Just straight up ruining shirts.
I was sitting there Saturday and drooling all over myself.
And I'd had a matcha green tea latte, so it was green.
Yes, it was green drool.
today it's yes. brown because it's chocolate milk day.
Chocolate milk day. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I forgot to mention at the start of the show, yo, if you ever want to get in contact with us, connect with us, all that fun jazz, find us on the socials, man. We there. Facebook from a certain point of view, Instagram from a certain point of view, podcast, Twitter from a certain PO1, email from a certain point of view, podcast@gmail.com. We there. You can find us. And if you like the show, man, don't forget to like and subscribe. Come back every week. We be breaking down the new season of The Falcon and Winter Soldier because we're both so into it right now, but we don't do that every time. When we find a good show, we get into it. Otherwise, you know, we talk about all other sorts of fun film stuff. So thank you for coming back this week. Thank you for starting this week, whatever it may be. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night.
Good night.